Hello and welcome to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Allison Succomelli. Each week, I'll be taking the science of positive psychology, adding a little humor, and through evidence-based research, provide you with tools and strategies to help you live a life of peace and purpose. In this episode, I'll be talking about the difference between being influenced versus manipulated. But first, looking for a gift to bring joy to someone? Check out the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal at theflourishingco.com. The author of the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal, Angela Reiner, was my guest on episode number 30 if you would like to hear directly from her about the inspiration behind the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal. So take a listen if you missed it. And teachers, looking for free resources and lesson plans? Check out the Lemon Tree by AKS on TPT, formerly known as Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm constantly adding new resources and lessons each week, several of which I mention on the podcast. A fun one to check out this time of year might be the Christmas photo shoot scavenger hunt. I actually had my own family do this one last year when I hosted Christmas Eve. It's both classroom and home friendly. So again, check it out on teacherspayteachers.com. My shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. You can also find a link in the show bio. And finally, if you'd like some daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post quotes and make book recommendations from time to time. Currently in my reading stack, to only name a few, I have The State of Affairs by Esther Perel and Milk and Honey by poet Rupi Kaur, which I highly, highly recommend both. Okay, so let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back into TLT and happy holidays. Certainly this time of year can be a time of joy for many, but not always all of us. So I'm again going to recommend Rupi Kaur's poetry if you are having a rough time right now or if you are in a process of healing. Last time I mentioned her poetry collection, Homebody, which is amazing, and now I'm onto her first collection, I believe, called Milk and Honey. And as usual, I tend to do things backwards or out of order, but in this case, it doesn't really matter, and the poetry is incredible. Milk and Honey is about love, loss, trauma, abuse, healing, and femininity. The collection of poetry is divided into four chapters, each with its own purpose. And she addresses different types of pain, heals different parts of heartache, and I can assure you that I was talking out loud to the book, oftentimes floored at how succinctly Kaur just nails an emotion, a thought, or so eloquently states a feeling, an experience, or hurt. I was so inspired, in fact, that my copy of each of her collections has served as a journal of sorts that naturally prompted my own poetry to come flowing out that mimics her style with my own thoughts and feelings. So I will invite you to do the same as you read the incredible poems. It is a journey and I can't get enough. It's kind of like kintsugi turned to poetry. With that said, this week's topic is related to emotional intelligence and how to know if you are being influenced or manipulated. What is the difference between the two? What signs should we be paying attention to? According to Ruchi Sinha of the Harvard Business Review, influence can be defined as the ability to affect the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, and it requires developing a strong emotional connection with yourself and others. And the American Psychological Association defines the delusion of influence as the false supposition that other people or external agents are covertly exerting powers over oneself. The idea of influence is used synonymously, but with the implication that the condition is less definite, of shorter duration, or less severe, as well as the false belief that one's intentions or actions directly control external events or the thoughts and behavior of other people. Okay, so that doesn't clear much up. While the art of influence or the power of persuasion can be essential skills in particular careers for growth, there's a thin line between influence and manipulation. There are several nuances and subtleties that are important to understand. And in the article, are you being influenced or manipulated by Ruchi Sinha, spelled R-U-C-H-I-S-I-N-H-A, explains the word influence as a neutral term, it's neither positive or negative, that indicates a person's capacity to have an effect on another person. Simply put, influence is what can move, sway, or inspire someone to behave in a certain way for a desired action. You can influence others for good causes, such as influencing your family and friends to behave in a positive way by leading by example, by displaying those behaviors yourself, like being ethical or acting with empathy. In the workplace, influence for good causes may look like your boss giving you credit where credit's due, thus resulting in influencing you to treat your team members with the same respect. The key element here that Sinha points out is that there is freedom of choice here. You are not being coerced or pressured to do something or behave in a certain way. When you are being influenced or when you are influencing others, you choose to follow your boss's or another person's lead. If someone is influenced by you, they are freely choosing to follow your lead out of admiration, respect, or any number of reasons. But again, they are free to choose based on open and honest interactions, which can comprise of many things: logical evidence, conversations, following through with actions, and so on. Influence, again, lacks coercion or the use of force or threats designed to obligate someone to do something. So then, what is manipulation? Manipulation has many negative connotations or ideas or feelings that are invoked or provoked at the mere mention of the word. Sinha says to think of manipulation like mind control or using emotional and psychological tactics to change or alter someone's perception or behavior in an underhanded, deceptive, or even abusive way. When this happens, people usually do not know that they are being manipulated because it is done in a way that conceals the manipulator's intention. This would be a case of using influence for a bad cause. The intent is to gain a personal advantage at the expense of someone else. This would include lying by omission, which I discussed in the last episode, as well as intentionally making things seem to be something they are not. Oh, this stuff gets so messy. But do note that not all influence is manipulation, and as mentioned before, influence can be used for good. So what can we do to understand and manage manipulation? First of all, research defines manipulative behaviors as involving those behaviors designed to control a situation or someone's reactions. Second, in order to manage manipulative behaviors, it is important to name the behavior and to state your boundary around it. So this is similar when we talked about noticing, identifying, and correctly labeling our emotions in a previous episode. The same is true when it comes to manipulation. We have to be able to recognize the manipulative behavior as it's happening and have an immediate go-to boundary that cannot be crossed. So luckily, Dr. Ahona Guha, a clinical and forensic psychologist practicing in Melbourne, Australia, recommends 4 steps to help you manage manipulative behaviors. And her name is spelled A-H-O-N-A and last name G-U-H-A. And Guha says all manipulative behaviors occur for a reason, and understanding the function of a behavior can be beneficial in framing your response. However, in her article, Understanding and Managing Psychological Manipulation, Guha uses the terms influence and manipulation interchangeably. She says this is because the term influence is more realistic. Okay, so now we know why this stuff can be so confusing, because researchers even mishmash the terms. So always make sure when you are taking in information on a topic that you always operationalize or clearly define how researchers are using their terms. It may not be the same across all of the research. But in terms of the four steps to help manage manipulative behaviors, Guha recommends the following. 1. Identify and name the behavior. It is important to accurately challenge manipulative behaviors, but you have to first understand what the behavior of concern is, because you cannot ask someone to change something that neither of you understands. Some examples of specific manipulative behaviors may include being overly dependent and asking for too much support, feigning illness, being triggered, feeling anxious for attention, threatening to leave a relationship, cutting off contact or threatening suicide to make someone stay in a relationship, and or becoming aggressive whenever challenged. Once you are able to name the manipulative behavior for yourself, it is helpful, if it is safe, to name the behavior to the other person. They may be completely unaware, and by bringing the manipulative behavior to their attention, you can then set a boundary around it. And one strategy Dr. Guha uses with her clients is a simple script that goes something like this. I wonder if you noticed that your voice is raised and that you just threatened me. Did you intend to do that? Another example may be, I notice that you often give me ultimatums or say you will leave me when I hold a view different to yours. Of course, you may want to speak with a licensed marriage and family therapist for tips and other suggestions on how to approach a manipulation safely and with ease. Step 2, take on just enough responsibility. Dr. Guha suggests that it is important to remind yourself that the person who may be engaging in manipulative behavior wants something from you and often wants you to feel a lot of responsibility for them. Don't buy it, she says. Everyone has responsibility for managing their own emotions, behaviors, and lives. Dr. Guha says if she noticed that someone was threatening suicide as a way to make her stay in a relationship, she would want to keep them safe, but also recognize that giving into this would set up an unsustainable pattern. Also, it may be essential at this point to call 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the United States or 000, the National Emergency Telephone Number in Australia. If the significant other threatening suicide has a known therapist, you could also contact that person and let them know what's going on. Dr. Guha also notes that the threat of suicide to keep someone in a relationship is quite different from a genuine emergency where someone was actively suicidal but was not using suicide as a systematic pattern of manipulation to control the significant other's behavior and keep them in the relationship. Step 3, state your boundary around the behavior. As I mentioned before, operationalize, break down, list, and clearly define your boundaries around the manipulative person and their behaviors. Dr. Guha says it is important to remember that your boundaries are about how much you can give, not about how much the other person might be asking. For example, you may have to recommend to the person exhibiting the manipulative behavior that it may be time for them to see a therapist because you cannot help them to the degree that they desire. If the boundaries you set are broken by the person, you need to repeat and enforce the boundary over and over. As Vienna Ferrone at Mindful LMFT says, boundaries are motivated by your healing. Ultimatums are motivated by your pain. Something to think about. Sometimes your heart needs more time to accept what your mind already knows. I've had to learn this in therapy over and over. And step 4, ask yourself, what's the function of the manipulative behavior? Guha says it is helpful to understand the behavior and consider what the function of the behavior might be for the other person. Are they lying to you about something that occurred because they feel defensive and anxious? Are they making you responsible for their feelings because it makes their emotional job easier, as they then don't need to do any work on changing their patterns? Are they being aggressive because it means you stop arguing and submit to them? She says understanding the function won't stop the behavior, but it gives you some insight into it, and of course, knowledge is power. Here's where positive psychology or the study of human strengths and flourishing can be applied. Bring curiosity, not blame. Curiosity rather than blame can bring about personal growth, possibly for both people involved in the manipulative behavior. The following are some known tactics of manipulators. They tend to cast self-doubt on you. This is where they make you question your own beliefs about yourself, resulting in negative self-perception rather than self-love. Manipulators tend to be passive-aggressive, engage in microaggressions, or give people the silent treatment by ignoring and avoiding you. They make you feel guilty and make you doubt your skills so you will do things differently. Manipulators tend to exhibit superficial charm through the use of praise, compliments, seemingly small favors, and public affection or recognition in a work setting. This tends to obligate you to take on more than you may want to in your given role. This acceptance of doing more comes through a feeling of obligation and coercion. The intent of the manipulator is to make you feel inadequate in order to get you to do something. A common example would be someone in a leadership role saying something like, "A great team player would take one for the team or do X for the team." This is manipulation. Manipulators also feed their target misinformation, which can also be withholding information, similar to lying by omission. This could be feeding you or others misinformation about other coworkers, so you have negative perceptions towards them. If you find the same person repeating the same negative information over and over to you, this is a tactic of manipulation. It is a false way to build trust with you and give the illusion that you are valued and trusted and should in some way feel grateful that you are not the one being spoken about. Unfortunately, this is a common occurrence in the workplace. One of the most unfortunate things when it comes to being manipulated is that it occurs most often in relationships in which the person knows you really well. This is a sad truth. Research shows that close relationships are more susceptible to manipulation because both people involved are aware of each other's vulnerabilities, desires, needs, and weaknesses. So what do we do? Humans are made to connect. We can't build a wall and keep everyone out of our lives because we are afraid the second we get close, we are going to be manipulated by this truly significant person. So what do you do then? HBR Sinha says you can minimize your susceptibility to manipulation by asking yourself some questions to help boost your cognitive immunity against being manipulated. Here are a few questions. For the complete set of questions, please read the Harvard Business Review article, "Are You Being Influenced or Manipulated?" It's easily found online. Some of the questions you can ask yourself are, do you have a high need to please others? Note, being a people pleaser is not a good thing. It can stem from self-worth issues and a need to feel accepted at all costs. This can be a serious problem, especially if you are pretending to agree with people, have a sense of responsibility for other people's feelings, find yourself apologizing for everything, you feel a sense of burden towards the things you have to do, when the only reason you are doing them is not because they are fulfilling to you, but because you want to please others. This would be an example of the inability to say no, which is especially important this time of year when the holidays come with extra responsibilities and often excessive expectations. People pleasers also feel extremely uncomfortable if people are angry with them. You act like the people around you rather than being yourself by adopting others' behaviors, negativity, or whatever the case may be. You need praise or likes to feel good. You go out of your way to avoid conflict, and you will not admit when your feelings are hurt. If this sounds like you, it may be worth looking into or speaking with a mental health professional to help break you of this habit of people-pleasing. I myself am a recovering people-pleaser. As such, the most important thing I have learned in this regard is that it is okay to say no to situations, to additional work responsibilities, to invites, and so on. Which leads us to Sinha's next question. Do you find it difficult to say no, or find yourself saying yes even when you want to say no? Again, it's okay to say no. That is self-love and self-respect. If your gut isn't screaming yes to something, then your response should be a no. You don't have to explain yourself. It's just a no. Another question you can ask yourself to minimize your vulnerability to being manipulated is, are you always concerned about how this one person thinks and feels about you? Do you find yourself justifying the motives and putting a positive spin on this person's actions? When others point out this person's flaws, do you find yourself denying their ill motives and giving them the benefit of the doubt by coming up with a logical reason for their manipulative behaviors? Ew, I'm guilty of doing this in therapy. I won't go into it here, but again, sometimes the mind is way ahead of the heart when it comes to accepting difficult truths. That question stings a bit, but it is also very important information so we can move forward, take the lesson, grow, and live our best lives. The last few questions are pretty loaded as well. Do you feel that you have no option but to remain in your current relationships? Do you need to sustain and protect relationships even when they are hurting you? All really great questions, but again, for the full article and more specific details, search online for Harvard Business Review's article titled, Are You Being Influenced or Manipulated? By Ruchi Sinha, again spelled R-U-C-H-I-S-I-N-H-A. The article also notes that if you've answered yes to most of the questions, you're very susceptible to manipulation, and it may be time to seek professional help, or at the very least, do some research, vet your sources, of course, and do something about it. You may need to pause and notice what is happening in your relationship or relationships, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, or a work relationship. It's also not just about observing the other person's behavior, but your own as well. Are you setting healthy boundaries or just letting people walk all over you? If so, why are you allowing it? If taking a moment to observe behaviors just leads to more confusion, ask for assistance from a professional, not a friend, but a professional, someone who is specifically trained in psychology. And don't get me wrong, not all friends are manipulators by any means, and friends are amazing, valuable, and essential to our lives, but a licensed psychologist may be needed in this case. Also, go with your gut. If things your friend, lover, or coworker aren't adding up, or the story changes, or evidence of some sort speaks against what they want you to believe, or act out in behaviors, listen to your instincts. If you tend to easily trust people or believe the good in people just because, you may want to proceed with caution. Unfortunately, manipulative people are everywhere. They know you well, and you need to pay attention to the red flags. Be yourself, stay curious, and arm yourself against easily being manipulated. Do you want to be a people pleaser? Do you want your relationships to be inauthentic and ultimately damaging? Or do you want to live a life filled with inner peace and the right people to share it with? Food for thought. Okay, so there you have it for this week. Recommended readings related to this episode include The State of Affairs by Esther Perel, Milk and Honey and Homebody by Rupi Kaur, Are You Being Influenced or Manipulated by Ruchi Sinha, and Understanding and Managing Psychological Manipulation by Ahona Guha. Other resources include 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the United States, or 000, the National Emergency Telephone Number in Australia. If you like my show, please follow or subscribe wherever you are listening so you don't miss an episode. And if you are interested and would like to receive daily inspiration via social media, you can join the Lemon Tree Coaching community on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post meaningful quotes from my weekly readings and recommend books from time to time. So check it out and see if it's for you. Others to consider following from this episode include marriage and family therapist Vienna Ferrone at Mindful LMFT. She posts some really good stuff as well. And teachers, you may want to check out my TPT store called The Lemon Tree by AKS. There are some free lessons you can download or explore the shop for more. Again, my shop is The Lemon Tree by AKS on teacherspayteachers.com. And thank you for listening and happy holidays. This is Dr. Allison Succomelli saying it's been a pleasure sharing this space with you. And until next time, have fun, be safe.